Lord, we need you to open our eyes that we might see what you would say to each one of us, what you would say to us as a group through your word today. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might see the glory and the humility of the Lamb who sits upon the throne. We pray in his name. Amen. We'll read the passage together in just a moment. But first, I guess my mind went back to school this week because so many people are preparing to go back to school or something similar. And I thought about the things that I didn't learn in school. How to open a bank account. How to balance a checkbook. How to save and spend money wisely. How to rent or buy a house. How to raise children. And finally, how to live together in harmony with a wife for 50 or 60 years. None of those were covered in school. In a fallen world, what do husbands, we spoke last week to the wives, what do husbands need to understand and do in order to be wise, spirit-filled leaders in their marriages? Pastors can be of some help. One pastor says about marriage, there's one cardinal rule, don't leave. Everything else is small stuff. Another pastor says, unless God intervenes, you will treat your spouse the same way your parents treated one another. Christian books can be of some help. During our engagement, Beth and I read a number of books together. We found some of them helpful, but some were somewhat more misleading than they were helpful. Mentors can also be of help. Over the years, we've benefited from especially two older couples who have helped to guide us through our more difficult times. For the most part, pastors and books and mentors that are good point us back to the scriptures that teach us to model our marriage after Christ and his church, and to rely on Christ to draw us toward one another. Someone one time drew a triangle like this, and they put the husband and the wife at the bottom of the triangle and Christ at the top of the triangle. And they said, as long as you're both moving towards Christ, you're moving towards one another. I thought that was a good illustration. So let's stand together as I read this passage taken from Ephesians 5. It includes verses 15 through 33 with a few left out that were not especially necessary. Ephesians 5, 15 to 33 selections. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. In a fallen world, many forces seek to pull husbands and their wives apart. Since the marriage relationship points to Christ and his church, it shouldn't surprise us that these forces that are opposed to Christ are also opposed to our marriages. In a world where many marriages end in divorce, Christ offers help and hope for Christian husbands and their wives. And he does so by calling husbands and wives to embrace the divine order for marriage and to follow the divine example of Christ and his church. Last week we spoke to the wives' side of this, and this week we speak to the husband's side of this. Embracing that divine order for Christian marriage involves understanding the concept of headship. Biblical headship is a misunderstood concept these days, just as biblical submission is misunderstood. Headship is not merely about authority. Headship involves both authority and responsibility. When God appoints a person to a position of authority, he also assigns particular responsibilities for that person to fulfill. Headship is both authority over and responsibility to or for a particular person or group of persons. Headship roles and responsibilities are not self-assigned. They were established by God from before creation. According to Scripture, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Husbands are the head of their wives. Parents are the head of their children. Employers are the head of their employees. Civic leaders are the head of their constituents. Sinclair Ferguson tells a story of a couple he counseled who said that they didn't need anyone to serve as the head in their home. So he asked them a series of questions to make his point. He says, but what do you do if you've discussed something together and you still can't decide? They didn't really have an answer. Well, we do the next thing. We pray about it. Well, what if you prayed about it and you still can't decide? They say, well, we just give it some time. Well, what if you give it some time and you still can't decide? Well, we seek the counsel of other people. Well, what if you seek the counsel of other people and you still can't decide? The purpose, one of the purposes of headship is to be able to make those decisions, not unilaterally, but in a way that ends the debate, if you will. I served for a short time under a three-pastor co-pastorate in a church. There was a little period of time in the EPC when they allowed for co-pastors. I don't know if they do anymore. It's a good thing. I was the music director at the time, and anytime I needed even a little decision to be made, I had to get them all three in the same room at the same time, or get them all on the same phone at the same time. It was a three-headed monster. And that's just an example of, in a workplace, having too many heads who are on the same level just doesn't work. That's one aspect of headship, being able to make a decision when the parties simply can't agree. They're not mad at each other. They just can't agree. They just can't come to some kind of resolution. However, the other side of authority involves taking responsibility for whatever is committed to a person's care, whatever God commits to a person's care. The husband's responsibility in this case is not to establish or maintain his authority. God has already done that. The husband is to fulfill the responsibilities that God has assigned for him to do. We're not to worry about whether we're head or not. We're to worry about are we fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given to us. And sometimes Christian husbands, especially new ones, get this confused at first. Newly married husbands sometimes think they must establish or assert their authority over their wives to show that they're in charge. For example, one husband expected his wife to remain silent in social situations so that he would be perceived as the head and so that he could be the spokesperson for the couple, for that couple. However, in one particular social situation, it made it very uncomfortable for another couple that invited them over to their home and wanted to get to know both the husband and the wife. And it took a little while to figure out what was going on there. Other husbands seek to maintain their authority over their wives by controlling their every move or purchase or phone call or email or conversation. However, more often than abusing their authority over wives, husbands are tempted to neglect their responsibility to or for their wives. Some husbands, instead of taking care of their wives, expect their wives to take care of themselves. They wrongly assume that because their wives are very capable persons, that they don't need any care. Other husbands, and I'm one of all these husbands too, I see myself in all of these, so I'm preaching this to myself as much as I'm preaching it to anybody. Other husbands, instead of taking care of their wives, are too busy or interested in taking care of themselves. And still other husbands vacillate between neglect and abuse by subjecting their wives to what amounts to long periods of relative silence, punctuated by short outbursts of anger. So there's all combinations of husbands out there and among us, aren't there? The devil tempts us in all of these different areas at different points in time. So that's why we talk about it. That's why we go back to the scriptures over and over again, because we need a fresh vision of Christ and his church so that we can do it properly. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit of God that we might be more careful to care for our wives. So proper headship under God is neither abuse of authority nor neglect of responsibility. It's neither about domination nor passivity. It's about responsible love and service. Proper headship can be found in the example of Christ as he takes responsibility for the church that God has entrusted to him. And he does this through responsible, loving service. So as husbands embrace the divine order for marriage, God enables them also to follow the divine example of Christ and the church. Just like we said last week, as wives are to imitate the submission of the church to their head, Christ, so husbands are to imitate the loving headship of Christ for his bride, the church. So husbands are responsible for loving their wives as Christ loved the church. The members of the church, the bride of Christ, generally pass through three phases or three stages in their life's journey: spiritual birth, sanctification, and perfection in glory, or glorification. And Christ, as her husband and head, accepts responsibility to care for his bride through all three stages. The first stage, through his loving, sacrificial death, Christ gave his bride a new life, a new family, new relationships, and a new inheritance to look forward to. The second stage, by the sending of his Spirit, he cleanses her over the course of her life from the past stain of sin and daily renews and purifies her, conforming her into his own image. And when he returns, Christ is going to bring about her final glorification, presenting her to himself. I love that phrase. Presenting her to himself, completely holy and blameless without sin. What a picture we have to imitate. So just as Christ cares for his bride, Christian husbands love and serve their wives as they pass through three similar stages of their journey. And the husband's responsibility, this all begins when he makes those promises where he says, I take you to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death us do part. And many husbands begin well, yet on the wedding day are mostly unaware of our own weaknesses, mostly unaware of the forces that are marshaled against us or the resources available to us in Christ. Some husbands are like the new husband in the recent Midas commercial. The bride says happily as the couple settles into the car in their tux and the wedding gown, and she says, this is the beginning of the rest of our lives, with a smile on her face. He turns the key. The car won't start. She asks her new husband, do you have the Midas touch? Forlornly, he says, no, I don't have the Midas touch. Her face drops and she says, this is the beginning of the rest of our lives. I did something similar to that groom on our wedding day. We ran out to the car under a hail of birdseed or rice or whatever it was from well-wishers on the way out of the church. Because we had borrowed a friend's new Camaro instead of my old clunker, I was overly concerned about keeping the car from getting filled with all this birdseed and stuff that was flying through the air. And I mistakenly, clumsily, stupidly closed the door before Beth had gotten all the way into the car, slamming her head in the door. Exerting my headship. She survived, fortunately, but the next few photographs were more tearful than joyful. You know how when you get in the car, they stick the camera right in your face and try to take the last few pictures before you get away? What did they say? I don't remember. Not tonight, dear. I have a headache. That's right. The youth club. The fact is, I was paying more attention to the new car than I was to my new wife. Not my best moment, but it illustrates that new husbands like me have a lot to learn. Husbands should not only be willing to lay down our lives, but actually do so from time to time as Christ did. In various ways this happens. Husbands, God may require you to lay down your personal dreams or ambitions at some point for her sake. If you're just entering into marriage or preparing for marriage, are you willing to make sacrifices in your career choice and career path along the way to tangibly demonstrate your love for your wife? Some men have given up what might have been the most productive years of their career in order to stay home and take care of an ailing or a dying wife. That's really the first step, is making those promises and beginning to lay down our lives for our wives in various ways. The next step of this process is normally the longest one. Husbands are to love and serve their wives by participating in their sanctification, or we might call it their spiritual growth or their personal growth in Christ throughout their lifetime. Christ does this with his bride by, to use the words in our passage today, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word. Husbands, we need to remember how important the Word of God is to our relationship with our wives. We need to read it together, talk about it together, pray about it together, base our decisions on it together. Find a church that reads it and preaches it and prays it and lives it and stay there. Encourage her with the Word of God, especially when she's struggling. As you know, most wives don't want to be fixed with quick answers. They want their husbands first to listen, second to understand, and finally to respond thoughtfully, lovingly, graciously, and hopefully based on God's Word. That's what helps them to grow spiritually and personally, to become more and more like the beautiful bride of Christ. And this process is completed only when Christ presents her to himself, holy and blameless, at the time of her death. So a husband's goal, however long he is married or however long they are married to one another, should be to help prepare her for the day when she joyfully and fearlessly falls into the arms of her eternal husband, who is Christ. Now, another way of looking at this found in our passage is to say that husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, even as Christ loves his own body, the church. So it's the same basic argument, but from a creation perspective. As we read earlier in our both passages, God created woman for man in the garden. Thus, in marriage, husbands and wives become one flesh. She's part of his body. He is part of her body. Everyone, it says, takes care of their own body, feeding it and nourishing it, washing it, grooming it. So husbands should take care of their wives because they share the same body. So husbands, imitate Christ in this way as well. See how Christ nourishes and cherishes his own body by the means of grace, even as we've gathered here today. The means of grace are the outward means of spiritual life and growth that are given to the church regularly as they gather together in worship through Christ. The public reading and the preaching of the Word of God, the public administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and corporate prayer, as we all experience today. All of these come where? From Christ to his church, his bride. See how Christ also provides, he oversees every aspect of the life of his bride through his providence, his providential care. See how Christ causes all things to work together for her good throughout her lifetime. See how Christ causes her to persevere even to the end. So husbands, in addition to caring for your wives' spiritual lives, this reminds you of your responsibility for her physical and emotional provision. Most husbands are pretty clear on our responsibility to protect and provide. We're ready to pull out the gun or the knife and go to work. Consider just a few more examples. And again, they're just examples. You know your wives, and I know my wife, and you have to adapt this accordingly. But just consider these examples of nourishing and cherishing your wife. Very mundane, but perhaps helpful. When you go to the refrigerator to get something to eat, I'm hungry. You might ask your wife, "Can I get you something?" That's a way of showing that you care about her nourishment, physical nourishment, as well as your own. You're thinking about her. You're caring about her body as well as yours. Or when you stop at a convenience store or a trip, I know all these things because I've done them wrong along the way. When you stop at a convenience store on a trip or on the way home, you might pick up something for your wife that she might like. It tells her that you were thinking about her, your other half, your better half, her body, as well as your own body. It tells her that you cherish the thought of her. So husbands, how can you live and walk wisely and spiritually in a fallen world? by submitting yourselves to God's order for relationships and by following the example of Christ for his bride. So today, let's catch a fresh vision of Christ lovingly serving the church of God that God has entrusted to his care through all the different stages of his her life. And so lovingly serve your wife from your wedding day to your parting day, even in the most difficult days. Let's meditate regularly on Christ's feeding and valuing his bride through the daily provisions that he gives to her and through the means of grace that he gives week after week after week. And let it enable you to nourish and cherish your wife as your own body in those everyday aspects of life. Husbands, keep the excellence of Christ in full view as much as you possibly can. Always depend on the empowering of Christ, especially in the small things. Because when we are weak, then he is strong in us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we consider what you call us to do in this world, enable the eyes of our hearts to see Jesus in his humility and in his glory, in the loving sacrifice of his death, in the sanctifying work of the Spirit, in his church, in his daily provision of grace through his word, through his sacraments, through the gift of prayer, and finally in the promise of his glorious return and the marriage of the Lamb and his bride. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.